You are listening to Talk Geek to Me News number 61, recorded for February 20th, 2012. You are listening to the Tech Only Hacker Public Radio Edition. To get the full podcast, including political commentary and other controversial topics, please visit www.talkgeektome.us. Here are the vital statistics for this program. Your feedback matters to me. Please send your comments to dg@deepgeek.us. The webpage for this program is at www.talkgeektome.us. You can subscribe to me on Identica as the username DeepGeek, or you could follow me on Twitter. My username there is DGTGTM, as in Deep Geek, Talk Geek to Me. And now the Tech Roundup from EFF.org, dated February 16, 2012, by Peter Eckersley, Rainey Reitman, and Li Tian. Google circumvents Safari privacy protections. This is why we need Do Not Track. Earlier today, the Wall Street Journal published evidence that Google has been circumventing the privacy settings of Safari and iPhone users, tracking them on non-Google sites despite Apple's default settings, which were intended to prevent such tracking. This tracking, discovered by Stanford researcher Jonathan Mayer, was a technical side effect, probably an unintended side effect, of a system that Google built to pass social personalization information, like, quote, "Your friend Susie plus one'd this ad about candy," unquote, from the Google.com domain to the DoubleClick.net domain. Further technical explanation can be found below. Coming on the heels of Google's controversial decision to tear down the privacy protective walls between some of its other services, this is bad news for the company. It's time for Google to acknowledge that it can do a better job of respecting the privacy of web users. One way that Google can prove itself as a good actor in the online privacy debate is by providing meaningful ways for users to limit what data Google collects about them. Specifically, it's time that Google's third-party web servers start respecting Do Not Track requests, and time for Google to offer a built-in Do Not Track option. Meanwhile, users who want to be safe against web tracking can't rely on Safari's well-intentioned but circumventable protections. Until Do Not Track is more widely respected, users who wish to defend themselves against online tracking should use Adblock Plus for Firefox or Chrome, or Tracking Protection List for Internet Explorer. Adblock needs to be used with Easy Privacy and Easy List in order to offer maximal protection. To read the technical details about the tracking, follow the links in the show notes. From TorrentFreak.com by Winston TPB, dated February 17, 2012. Pirate Bay. The RIAA is delusional and must be stopped. Senior Executive Vice President of the RIAA, wow, what a long title, Mitch Glazier, has published a blog post on why TPB is, quote, "one of the worst of the worst," unquote. The piece gives us ample information on just how delusional the recording industry really is and shows why they must be stopped. In the very first sentence, Glazier uses the phrase copyright theft. It's an interesting concept. If anyone in history ever stole copyright, it must be the record industry. At least they tried, as in the Swedish TPB case, where they sued over a record they did not have the copyright to. A small lesson to Mr. Glazier: if someone steals something, you don't have it anymore. If you copy it, both have it. This means if someone steals your copyright, aka copyright theft, you don't have the copyright anymore. I'm having a hard time to see that happening, though, since copyright isn't really physical. The jobs that you say are being stolen in the U.S. are somewhat physical, though, and if someone steals them, where do they go? Maybe they just aren't needed anymore. That's what technology does. Sorry, it's 2012, not 1912. Do you want to forbid robots as well, since they steal jobs? Let me quote the title of Peter Sun's latest piece in Wired, It's Evolution. If you search for it, you'll find the rest of the title for that piece. It might be illegal for me to put that in print, since a new censorship law was passed in Syria. Since you apparently think that U.S. laws should control people around the world, shouldn't we follow the laws in Syria as well? Yes, Glacier is upset that the Pirate Bay moved away from U.S.-controlled domain names. He doesn't seem to understand that there is a worldwide problem when one single country tries to take control over a global infrastructure. The Pirate Bay has no connections to the U.S., so why should the U.S. be able to control it? It's a very undemocratic procedure, which obviously the RIAA is supportive of. Apparently, escaping U.S. laws means not being born in the U.S., not living there, not working there, or not wanting to kiss your ass. And, Mr. Glacier, talking about the countries in the EU that you have forced ISPs to block the Pirate Bay and other sites is interesting, as the European Court has just decided that these types of censorship are just that, censorship, and should be treated as illegal. Could we see your view on the matter, as the RIAA is clearly supporting illegal censorship? The RIAA wants the tech industry to sit down and talk to them. Fuck that. You are not in charge. If you want the help of the tech industry, ask for it. You'll probably get it, since most tech people are nice. You are not in charge anymore, and that's probably why you're pissed off. Please stop calling yourself the creative community. You are not a community. You are a coalition of some of the richest companies in the world, and the only thing you seem to be creative with is your accounting procedures. The recording industry is like a kid screaming for candy. The problem is that the kid has diabetes. From TorrentFreak.com by Enigmex, dated February 14, 2012, IIPA reports BitTorrent sites and cyberlockers to U.S. government. The IIPA, which counts major entertainment groups such as the MPAA and RIAA among its members, has listed many BitTorrent and cyberlocker services in its latest submission to the U.S. Trade Representative. Hong Kong-based mega upload neighbor FileSonic is listed as an infringing distribution hub, while Pirate Bay, ISO Hunt, Demonoid, and others get notable mentions. The International Intellectual Property Alliance, the IIPA, has just published its written submission to the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative, listing countries that it believes should be identified in the annual Special 301, the report that details the adequacy and effectiveness of U.S. trading partners' protection of intellectual property rights. The IIPA, which counts the Association of American Publishers, BSA, ESA, Independent Film and Television Alliance, MPAA, National Music Publishers Association, and the RIAA among its members, has listed its grievances against the whole host of countries. Unsurprisingly, especially given its members' focus, the main complaints concern movie, music, video game, and software piracy. The complaints about infringement in the digital realm are numerous. From the priority watch list, the file-sharing focus fails on Canada, China, Russia, and Ukraine. Canada. According to the IIPA, Canada is a haven where technologically sophisticated international piracy organizations can operate with virtual impunity in the online marketplace. This is due, says the group, to Canada's reputation for having weak, ineffective, or non-existent laws to outlaw infringement. The IIPA notes correctly that Canada plays host to a large number of BitTorrent sites, including perhaps its most famous, ISO Hunt. The group says that the site has operated with impunity for more than 8 years, despite being the subject of an injunction issued by a U.S. court. Of course, by definition, the U.S. is outside Canadian jurisdiction. Other major torrent sites mentioned as having Canadian connections include Kickass Torrents and Torrents.eu. It's also noted that many French-language torrent sites operate from Quebec. File-sharing-related actions IIPA recommends Canada takes in 2012. Establish clear liability and effective remedies against those who operate illicit file-sharing services or those whose actions are otherwise directed to promoting infringement. Enact strong legal incentives for internet service providers to cooperate with copyright owners in combating online piracy, including by limiting the scope of liability safe harbors in accordance with international best practices. China. The IIPA lists the main source of online piracy as music portal sites, P2P services, deep linking services, aka search engines, forums, blogs, and cyber lockers. File sharing client Zunli and other services offered by its operators are mentioned several times. Generally, the situation in China has improved over the last 12 months, with the IIPA noting that major P2P sites have cleaned up their pirated content. Illicit streaming services are described as problematic as the increasing consumption of illicit content via cell phones. To read the file-sharing related actions the IIPA recommends China takes in 2012, read the full article. Russia. The IIPA singles out two BitTorrent trackers as especially problematic: RUTracker.org, the renamed Torrent.ru, and GameTorrent, a tracker allegedly owned by a Russia national but hosted in Estonia. According to the submission, Russia is home to the world's two most prolific criminal release groups, who camcord movies in local theaters and upload them to the internet. The unnamed groups are said to have been responsible for 77 exceptional quality camcord movies in 2011. A streaming video links site listed as offering such movies is the popular Video2K.tv. On the music front, Russia's Facebook equivalent, VKontakte, is singled out for criticism despite apparently responding correctly to takedown demands. Quote, while VKontakte will generally take down specific content when notified, that is an inappropriate enforcement mechanism for a problem of VKontakte's own making, unquote, the submission states. Sites that charge a nominal amount for music, such as the numerous all of MP3 type clones, are described as an important source of piracy, which have grown to more than 30 in number since the site's demise. To read the file sharing related actions IIPA recommends Russia takes in 2012, read the whole article. Ukraine. Unsurprisingly, Demonoid.me is the focus of the IIPA's and BitTorrent sentiments in Ukraine that claims that the site offers 75,000 movies and 47,000 TV shows for free. CyberLockerEX.ua, which was raided in January but is now back online, leads the IIPA's file hosting complaints. To read the recommendations for the Ukraine, read the full article. To read the paragraphs on Italy, Spain, Switzerland, Hong Kong, read the full article, linked to in the show notes. From TechDirt.com by Mike Masnick, dated February 17, 2012. Congrats, U.S. government. You're scaring web businesses into moving out of the U.S. The federal government has been paying lip service to the idea that it wants to encourage new businesses and startups in the U.S., and this is truly important to the economy, as studies have shown that almost all of the net job growth in this country is coming from internet startups. Thankfully, some politicians recognize this, but the federal government seems to be going in the other direction. With the JotForm situation unfolding, where the U.S. government shut down an entire website with no notice or explanation, people are beginning to recognize that the U.S. is not safe for internet startups. Lots of folks have been passing around this rather reasonable list of activities for U.S.-based websites. Quote, today's sysadmin to-do list. 0. Get corporate membership with EFF. 1. Identify all applications with user-generated content. 2. Move all associated domains to a non-US-based registrar. 3. Migrate DNS, web serving, and other critical services to non-US-based servers. 4. Migrate yourself to a non-US-controlled country. I'm sorry for US sites and users. Your government is hell-bent on turning the internet into a read-only device like TV, easily regulated and controlled. The population will be required to sit quietly and keep their eyes glued on the screen so they don't miss the ads with any infringers deemed terrorists and pedophiles and less deserving of summary punishment by DHS squads. Hopefully, the internet will route around the damaged segment and the rest of us can continue to enjoy the amazing interactivity it has brought to society. End block quote. What's amazing is the what's the big deal attitude the government has taken to all of this. For most of us, this situation is shocking. The U.S. government should never be able to flat out shut down a business with no notice or explanation, only to say sorry a couple of days later. It's done this in the past and insisted that it would be more careful in the future. So far, it doesn't appear to be living up to that promise. While these may be mistakes, the wider impact should be frightening to federal officials. They're now actively scaring startups away from the U.S. businesses at a time when they should be doing exactly the opposite. From TechDirt.com by Glenn Moody, dated February 17, 2012, Australian government holds secret anti-piracy meetings. The public is not invited. As TechDirt noted recently, policymaking behind closed doors is no longer acceptable. Until the end of the 20th century, it was hard for the general public to make their views heard, and so governments didn't really bother asking them. But that's no longer the case. The internet has blown government wide open, and there is now no excuse for not consulting as widely as possible, including the public, before passing legislation or signing treaties. That's a lesson that the Australian government seems not to have learned yet, judging from the following story, quote, "The federal government has reportedly held a second closed-door meeting held between the content and telecommunications industries to address the issue of illegal file sharing on the internet through avenues such as BitTorrent," unquote. The first meeting took place at the end of last year and is part of the content industry's attempt to circumvent the Australian court's refusal to order ISPs to act as a private copyright police force. According to another report, the argument now seems to be mainly about who will pay for a proposed graduated response three-strike scheme. Quote, one source familiar with the discussion said, local film industry representatives are concerned that the cost of operating graduated response schemes is too high. Another source said the content industry's response was to try to push the cost of managing infringement notices and an appeals mechanism for customers who felt they had been wrongly accused onto internet service providers, unquote. Never mind the fact that the content industries not only want this kind of extrajudicial punishment, they want it for free. What's really appalling here is that three strikes seems to have been settled upon without any qualms about whether it is fair or would work or whether it might be a good idea to conduct some research to find out. It's the usual evidence-free policy making that has bedeviled this area for decades, but that's hardly surprising since the most important stakeholder here, the public, wasn't invited to the meetings to offer its views on moves that would have a major impact on using the internet, on privacy, and on civil liberties. That's not only unacceptable, it's extremely unwise in view of what the Australian government plans to do next. Quote, if the content and internet industries reach agreement on a scheme to deal with copyright infringement, the Attorney General's Department is expected to put a draft proposal out for public consultation, unquote. Given the way that such a draft proposal is being drawn up, any public consultation is likely to be seen as a sham, since the terms of the debate have already been set, and when the draft, with a few token but irrelevant tweaks, finally becomes law, guess how much public support that is going to have. News from IWW.org, RawStory.com, the audio Moment of Clarity number 116, and TechDirt.com, used under arranged permission. News from EFF.org and TorrentFreak.com, used under permission of the Creative Commons by Attribution License. News from PeoplesWorld.org, used under permission of the Creative Commons by Attribution Non-Commercial, No Derivatives License. News from IndieBay.org, used under terms of the webpage. News from TakeTheSquare.net is copyleft, translation from Greek courtesy, the Reddit community. News sources retain their respective copyrights. Thank you for listening to this episode of Talk Geek to Me. Here are the vital statistics for this program. Your feedback matters to me. Please send your comments to dg@deepgeek.us. The webpage for this program is at www.talkgeektome.us. You can subscribe to me on Identica as the username DeepGeek, or you could follow me on Twitter. My username there is DGTGTM, as in Deep Geek, Talk Geek to Me. This episode of Talk Geek to Me is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 Unported License. This license allows commercial reuse of the work, as well as allowing you to modify the work, so long as you share alike the same rights you have received under this license. Thank you for listening to this episode of Talk Geek to Me.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HBR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.